Okay, welcome back to another episode of The Bald and the Beautiful. Today I am bald. She is beautiful.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, we have an extra special guest, Natasha Leggero. Now, we never have guests anymore, but Trixie passed.
I gathered that.
Yeah, she passed away 2 days ago, so, you know. Why are you laughing? That's weird.
Well, that's your producer's laughing.
Oh,
and
yeah, yeah.
Giving me the cue.
Oh, sorry, yeah. Stop doing the laugh track. Thank you, thank you.
Hey, as a comedian, sometimes you do laugh when your dearest pass. So I wasn't sure, but I'm very, very happy that this is a joke.
Okay, I thought you were going to say I'm very happy for your loss.
Period.
No, but thank you so much for being here. First of all, I have to say, I had never seen another period until very recently, i.e. yesterday. And it is so fucking funny, like laugh out loud funny, like obnoxiously funny. I was watching it while my new gay lover, we're like kind of doing sexy stuff on the couch, but—
And you had another period on?
Yes. And I have to tell you, like, I really like him and we're very attracted to each other, but the attention was like
amazing.
Squarely on the television. Yeah, it was so funny. It's like, I don't think that comedy is all that funny all the time, to be honest, but like, it is.
We tried to really go for it.
Yeah, you really, I mean, it's so, so good.
And also it's worth noting that Shonda Rhimes came out and told us in the press that that was her favorite show and her dream was to make something like another period. And then she did Bridgerton. But Bridgerton's not a comedy. But, you know, she just has that golden touch. So
yeah,
what can you do?
That makes a lot of sense, actually. But I mean, the whole like, the concept of, you know, a turn of the century,
it's like
Gilded Age as a reality show is so fucking funny.
Thank
so
you.
Good. Did you love doing it?
I loved it. It was such a dream. And, you know, you never realize something's a dream when you're doing it.
Yeah, it always seems like a nightmare.
You're like, when will this end? And then you get 5 more jobs and you're like, oh my God, that was so much better than anything else. Because, you know, we were working with all our friends and network. Comedy Central. I mean, the good thing was they didn't give us notes.
I was going to say that I was like, this doesn't seem possible anymore. Like, how are you able to get away with so much blue material? I mean, it's really, really crazy. Especially that bit where you're the Irish, when there's the pageant and there's, I think it's your talent that the Irish song that about the mix. I don't remember.
Oh, right. Well, because we were thinking like people used to be racist towards the Italians and Irish people.
Yeah. It is brutally funny.
I'm sure there's a lot of un-PC things in that.
Yeah. I mean, it's so good.
I think
good.
Our manservant got raped by like a woman.
Ravished. It was so funny. I mean, it's like, and nobody could ever believe that he'd been ravished because he was so ugly. You know, it is just so funny. It's so, so,
well,
so,
well, thank
so
you.
Funny.
I'm glad you were able to get through the 9 paywalls to watch it. Because it's not that easy to access.
No.
And, you know, that's really the hardest thing about producing TV shows is like if it's on Netflix, everybody sees it.
Right.
And
so how do you get something seen today?
You just have
producer?
To put out a million things until you get on a streaming platform. Because Comedy Central, it's like, I don't know what cable provider I have.
I have no idea.
It's 9,000 when they ask you.
I go to this, like the general, I go all the way back on my TV and I look for the search thing and then I search for it. And then it tells me like, oh, these are the OnlyFans companies that have the thing. And then then you have to pay $10 to watch it, but whatever.
I don't even care. Well, yeah, it's very frustrating. My husband's in charge of the tech support. And that is one of the main reasons I got married, I feel like, because he just like helps with all of that. But then he gets annoyed and won't help me, and I kind of give up.
Do you, how long have you been working with him professionally?
Well, we have a podcast together, the Endless Honeymoon podcast. And, you know, I guess that's pretty, I guess we're always kind of working together.
We did the special. Well, that's what I was wondering. I was like, that seems challenging. You must really, really like him.
That's an interesting way to look at it. It's just, it feels so inevitable.
Really?
I guess. Well, because then you're also like, there's so many things I want to ask him to do just about like the house.
Sure.
And like pick up this and can you close the cabinets?
Right.
And I mean, the other day he like, and then living with a guy, like it's so challenging. Like we have 3 elderly chihuahuas that pee on everything.
Oh, wow.
And he leaves out for a pee pad the other day. He's done this twice now. My new monogram towels on the floor. And I come home and he's got it really neatly put out. So it's like, you know, so it's not an accident. Something.
Oh, right, right.
You know, it's not like he just threw it on the floor. He's right. Like, this is where they can pee. So it's like a lot of challenges like that.
Do you feel like it's a vengeful placement?
That's what I thought. Because yeah. He also started techno DJing and I do not like techno at all. Because wait, are you a DJ?
No, she
Trixie's
was.
A DJ. Okay.
Yeah, yeah, she was. You know, rest in peace. I feel like, oh my God, this is horrible.
So he started doing like 90s techno from like his office and it's really loud. And I said to him the other day, I was like, are you trying to fuck with me?
Yeah.
And then he brought it up in couples therapy. He's like, I can't believe she thought I was like fucking with her. And I'm like, well, I just don't understand why someone would think like at 11 a.m. this was acceptable in a shared office space.
Yeah. How old is he?
43.
Yeah, at 43, I'm going to take up this really annoying hobby in the home.
He is like always coming up with new hobbies. I feel like it's because like women, a woman as a mother, it's like there's no time.
No.
My hobby is like laundry, but right, he's got surfing. He's into RVs and camping, DJing.
Wow.
It's like he's got all these like.
Sounds like a hobo. Oh my God. It's funny. Like I don't. So wait, you've been married to him for...
We've been married for 7 years.
Seven.
I'm trying to work less with him.
Okay.
But we do have this podcast, which is really fun where we give advice.
And I love the podcast.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
And he's, you know, he's was an AA for many years. He's got good advice.
Oh, that's right. You know what? That's great. Someone married to somebody sober, that's...
Oh,
it's either
I love
great
it.
Or, you know...
No, and he totally is not judgmental.
Yeah.
And he's always telling me, like, he's like, you're not an alcoholic. You don't smoke too much weed. I'm like, okay, good. And I'm like, I do smoke all the time. He's like, yeah, but you don't have a problem. Because like in AA, it's like people, you know, he knows people who woke up in Jerusalem with like a high heel in their eyeball. Like, so he thinks I'm like totally fine. So, and he's always driving and, you know, he takes
care. That's perfect. Yeah. So you can get lit, crunk and turnt and then you always have a chauffeur. That's really smart.
I mean, it is a nice perk.
Yeah.
I don't know how lit I get, but you know, I hate driving.
I hate driving too. And I recently started driving again after maybe 10 years of not driving. And it is so terrifying.
It really is.
Why aren't people more afraid of it?
Well, I am as a child, like having a child too. Like I don't want anyone driving her anywhere. I'm like always trying to walk places. And then I had a nanny who flipped her car and I'm just like.
How did she?
She really was just on the freeway. Like,
oh, I thought
it
you
just like
she flipped her over. Like. She flipped. Is she dead now? Or is she still alive?
No, she survived.
How did she survive that?
I don't know.
Super nanny. Damn.
But my kid was not in the car.
Okay, thank you. Yeah.
But then I never let her drive the kid anywhere. Yes, driving is terrifying.
So there's, as you notice, there's no sidewalks on this street. That's terrifying to me.
I know.
And I saw a young dad with a child on a bike.
On the street?
Yes, on this hill street with no sidewalks. You know, they have like a baby or a child seat on the back of the bike. I was like, you're going to hell because that child is going to die. Don't you? I mean, it's so wild.
I know.
It's so terrifying. And I every time I get in the car, I'm like, okay, this could be it. But that's not it. No, seriously. Because it
know,
really
we,
could.
We have to get over our fears though.
No. I think we just need to transfer the irrational ones to the rational ones. Like
how
fear
would
of
that
flying.
Work?
That's an irrational fear.
Fear of getting in an airplane.
Yeah, because you're not flying the plane.
Right.
So what are you afraid of?
But driving we should actually be afraid of. Oh, and everyone's texting. And even if you're not texting, they are.
They are.
Yeah.
So it's like you're it's like we're in Mad Max and everybody's drunk and like it's really, really terrifying. I was like my first day of driving after I got my car, I would pull up to a red light on Sunset and I looked over and there was a Jeep with no doors. And a kid who was probably 17, smoking a joint and on the phone. And I was like, and it looked like a Hummer though. It was a giant like Jeep looking thing. And I was like, he could crush my car and this could be it. So
yeah, my husband has a Tesla, which I'm driving today. I hate it. It's so awful.
It's like a computer.
You're like driving in the middle of the computer and then he drives it on autopilot and he's just constantly texting, but we've gotten pulled over. It's not legal to do this, even though Elon Musk has made this feature like a part of the car.
Yeah. But
and the officer was like, no, you can't do that. And then he just still keeps doing it.
And also I don't know if this is true and I shouldn't like conspiracy theorize, but I believe that the CIA can hack into your car and then just like drive you into a tree.
I'm sure you're right.
I think they can.
Ugh, it's awful.
Yeah.
What do we do?
I don't know.
I feel like we should just live it up for the next 2 years and then it's going to be over.
You know, funny, I've had that feeling for the last 15 years.
Oh, okay. Well, then maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm wrong.
But
it's just an instinct.
Okay. So I have to, like, so I'm watching your stand up and you're like, you know, and your the style of comedy you do and your point of view. I imagine, I would guess that having a child may have changed your worldview a little bit.
Yes, it sucks. And because it's like, I just keep talking about the child, and then I'll say something she says to a friend in front of her. She's four now, almost five. And she's like, "Mommy, don't tell people what I say."
Is she British?
She does have a British accent. Well, I kind of have, like, I've always wanted to be a royal. So, like, you know, I'm just always trying to, like, encourage
her. Does she talk like that at home?
Well, because her palate, her palate's really developed. She's always, like, screaming for caviar. Caviar, caviar, mommy. Do they have caviar here? I'm like, Nate, keep your voice down. We're at a Black Lives Matter rally. Like, stop it. She's, like, so stuck up. But, like, I had beef running until I was 39. Sure. So, you know, I'm, like, totally down for her. So, anyway. But she's been telling me to stop saying things. And then I'm, like, oh, my God. If she's, like, if I do a Netflix special and, like, talking about her, and then she sees it when she's, like, 12. Oh, what if she hates me?
Oh, what if? She will.
Right? Yeah. So, I'm, like, okay, I just have to be able to, like, tour right now. Yeah. So, no one will record it. I'll make fun of her, do the tour, and then give it up.
I think maybe because I've run across this, like, you know, I've gotten into hot water talking about people from my personal life on stage or whatever on the podcast.
Me too.
And so that is definitely going to happen. It's going to be tough because I saw a massage therapist in Australia, and it was one where the
jerk off one.
Yeah. And I raved about the experience later, but I had called him a hooker.
But no one knew who it was.
All
they know is this country.
The country. I didn't even say the city, I don't think. And like, I didn't describe him.
Right.
I gave a rave glowing review, but because I was also once a hooker back in the day, I used the term kind of flippantly. And I contacted him again to see if he had any, like a recommendation for another city. And why are you going to talk about it on your podcast? And he said he didn't know who I was anyway. So I was like, you know what? I just have to be very careful about who I talk about. And if you talk about your daughter on stage, it's a wrap. She's going to kill you. Don't you think?
I mean, I love her so much. And if she started like hating me because I was like, you know, talking about making fun of her, you know, the things she eats or the things she says. And she, I don't know, half of it's, you know, embellished. So,
right.
I mean, don't kids like sue their parents for putting them on Instagram?
Well, I mean, I think that. I mean, most kids hate their parents at some point anyways. Julia Roberts.
Her kids hate her?
I don't think they hate her, but I think they're probably like, they're not impressed.
Well, they probably never see her.
That's true.
She's probably like, absent mother. Tuscany. It's like so hard to keep up with it all. And you know, if you want to still be involved, like every time I see an actress on a billboard with kids, I'm like, do they ever see their kid?
Oh, it's probably just like an army of nannies.
I saw Nicole Kidman once at the theater with her two kids, but she only stayed for one act.
Wow.
You know, like of the Broadway play, you know, so I bet everyone's just so busy that it's like,
yeah, that's
you can
depressing.
Show up.
Yeah, you just, you show your face, you're there, and then you just go in the bathroom, do cocaine, and then leave. Oh, that's so horrible. Wait, do you roll with like, I'm imagining you're probably, you know, you're deep in the comedy scene, but do you have like, do you travel in the like celebrity circles of Hollywood?
No, I'm sorry. Wait, in what way?
Like Julia Roberts?
No, yeah, I don't hang out with Julia Roberts.
You don't do mahjong with her on Tuesday nights?
I mean, I feel like it's been, you know, this is actually my book's about like being like at the height of your, like in your prime, you know, and then having a kid and hoping they can kind of like figure out how to be a part of your life instead of you being a part of like a kid life. And it's such a struggle because you want to be this glamorous person who just has a kid.
Right.
But then it's like there's all this pull to – it's very degrading having a child.
Yeah.
You know, you're constantly being degraded.
Well, it's disgusting.
She started doing this thing of like grabbing like my neck, like underneath my neck when we're in public, like talking to me. And I'm like, do not ever touch my face.
Not like, that part either. It's
I
like,
know.
It's like, oh my
and
God.
I'm like talking to my friends and she's like pinching under my neck yesterday. And I was like, I told you to never touch me though. Like, stop it. You know, it's just like all of the, and then they're pulling at you and you've got stains on your shirt and you're like, did you get your drinks and your medicine? And you're like, food every 7 minutes. It's just like, it's a constant. It's really challenging.
Is humiliating. Is she potty trained?
Of course. She's five. No, I'm like, know. You, I have no idea. Like, every year is a surprise. Like, I was never around kids. I never wanted kids. Yeah. I was like, my therapist called it a situational breeder. So like, if the situation presented itself to me in the right way, I would say yes.
And it did?
It did. Well, I had frozen my eggs by 38 just in case the situation came around.
How long did they last for?
They can last, I think, for like at least 10 years or 15 years. And your uterus is good till you're like 60.
Oh, yeah.
But you got to do it before 37. But anyway, I did not want. But then when I met Moshe, I was like, oh, okay, he can fertilize one of them.
Oh, he's definitely fertile. That head of hair. It's so thick and full. It's gorgeous.
He's very into his hair.
Is he? Of course he is. I mean, men with hair are into their hair. And men without hair don't care about hair.
Yeah, I don't really care about hair. I wish he had less of it. It's always everywhere.
Well, is it like I have this friend, Andrew, who has this like long, I mean, it's like, you know, Tresemme commercial kind of hair. And it's like, there's Andrew and then there's his hair. So you're having a conversation with two people when you talk to him. You know what I mean? It's like another entity in the room.
I hate that.
Yeah. Some people are like, oh, it's so great to see you in your hair today. You know, it's like, it's wild. So I have a nephew who's 4.
Oh, so you kind of understand the age.
I understand the age from like, but we don't, he's in Washington, so we don't see much of him, but he really looks exactly like me.
Aww.
And it's creepy. I mean, it's nice, but it's, genetics is wild.
Yeah.
I mean, he looks exactly like me.
Interesting.
So I just hope he's not, you know.
Why? I mean, that'd be nice.
No, gay people, it's horrible being gay.
Well, I guess the nice thing is that now, hopefully when you tell your parent, you're less afraid to tell your parents that you're gay, and
now,
there's more support.
Of course.
I feel like so many gay people I know never had support. So,
but because of that, I think they oftentimes now. I mean, it's different in different parts of the country, but these days, it's not for a lot of kids. It's not even an issue, but that makes them less interesting. So now we have boring gay people,
right?
You know what I mean.
What do you think of wanting your daughter, like hoping that she's a lesbian just so she doesn't have to be around like straight men all the time?
I think that is a really natural hope. I mean, well, think about it. Men, like, ugh.
Just the less men, the better, right?
Yeah. I mean, if you don't have to worry about her getting pregnant. Mm. You don't have to worry about her getting RAPED probably. You know, I mean, not to say that some, but it's less frequent, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
And it's just
so
wonderful
hard.
To have someone around the house who knows how to like hang pictures and stuff.
Yeah. I wish I had a tool belt. Do you like have someone help you with everything?
I got this guy off of TaskRabbit.
Ah.
He's so hot and he has braces.
Hey, you better be careful. He might listen.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I got this nice man. Well, I didn't just
this hooker with, off of TaskRabbit.
Yeah, this fucking whore with braces. Yeah. Oh, but he's so fabulous. And I think creepy thoughts, but I don't do creepy things. And
okay.
But Lord Jesus Christ, I would, he's wonderful. And he's really good at everything.
See, I just feel like I wish I had a little more agency because I want everything to look exactly how I want, but I don't want to like sit in my house with someone for 6 hours and be like a total diva about like, I'm sorry, can we redo that like 1 inch to the right?
I had wallpaper put up and the guy said he was the guru. He was nothing of the sort. And it took him about 6.5 hours and he'd put it up. It was wrong. Like it did not stay up, but I said, it's perfect. And I just let him go and I ripped it up, ripped it off the
you
wall.
You did?
Yeah, but I mean, what was I going to do? I just don't have the
it's
like.
Perfect.
Yeah. Like, and I think I tipped him like 100% too. And I just like, get out of here. And then,
God.
I don't know. I have no spine.
Well, that makes me feel better that you have someone helping you. So.
Yeah. Because I don't know how to do anything. I don't know how to cook. I'm learning how to do like unload and load the dishwasher. But I don't know how to figure out the oven thing yet. I'm 40.
Really? Well, that's still young.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like I don't like cooking. And I have a friend who's like, I think you should examine that in therapy. She was like, that's not normal. Like, that's like a thing like that creates home. And
there's so much. I mean, cooking is so, it can be so laborious. Like there are cooks.
Measuring and
there are cooks who just cook.
Yeah.
That's their job.
Exactly.
You know, if you were like mega ultra super billionaire wealthy, would you have a private chef?
Exactly. Of
yeah.
course.
Yeah.
And also, yeah, I don't know. It's just like, I can't do it. If something has like, I like two or three ingredients. That would be like a nice cookbook.
Okay, two or three ingredients. Rachel Ray, hot dog nachos. 30-minute meals.
Hot dog, I mean, I can't. I don't think I could eat that.
No, I couldn't eat that either. It's really disgusting. But I hate it when people like just parrot back their things to the person. But I have to, the joke that you did, it was in one of your earlier stand-up specials, I think, where you were talking about being at the DMV. And
you have AIDS. Wait, that's like a cancelable joke now.
Oh, no, it's not.
It's fine. But sometimes people will send me things and I'm like, can you not send these around anymore?
It's
just very stressful because I think it's easy to forget that the whole mode of comedy has changed and evolved for the better.
Yeah.
And I think that 15 years ago, people were like, how can I shock everyone?
Sure.
And I feel like there was like a lack of empathy or something in the comedy world, maybe.
How do you think it is now? Because I mean, male comics, I have to say, I struggle to like them.
Male comics. And I just find women more interesting to look at. They're more beautiful. Yes. They have a more interesting point of view.
Yes.
Even my daughter, we were playing music yesterday and she's like, can you put on some more female voices? I want to hear women sing.
That's so great.
And I was like, yes, women are better singers. But like, you're probably not supposed to say that. But at the same time, she's just like we were listening to Beyonce. Mm. And because I'm trying to play her like every genre of music. And so she's like, say my name. We're listening to, Destiny's Child. And then when someone comes, maybe it's Jay-Z, they start rapping. She's like, that's their father, right? Like she thinks when the man comes on, it's like
dad they're piping in.
Go to your room, girl. Yeah.
So
she loves Say My Name. And so she always wants to do that. So then I started playing her Beyonce. And then like all of a sudden, like a man will start rapping. Jay-Z comes on. She's like, can we listen to something or just her singing? Like, I don't want to hear them. So I do like that.
She is going to be fantastic. I mean, I feel the exact same way about music. I listen to exclusively female vocalists.
Yeah.
And I find the sound of a man's voice grating.
Who are the men right now who are like a single male who you would listen to in the way that you listen to like Billie Eilish or
maybe The Weeknd because he sounds like a girl.
Okay. Yeah. But I mean, I don't think the music is up to my par for listening.
No, I don't like it, but
Billie Eilish I think is cute and cool and I like some of her stuff.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. Are there like male singer-songwriters? I mean.
Charlie Puth, but it's very poppy.
I don't know him.
He's like a young kid. He's so, so cute.
Puth?
Puth. P-U-T-H.
Is he British?
No, he's American and he's like this adorable, hot nerd, but he kind of gay baits on his social media. Mm. Like, you know what I mean? He knows
like that he's straight, but
he knows that the gays are like foaming at the mouth for him. So they're like, he'll post like a 2-second video of like his nipples or something. You know what I mean? Things like that.
Oh, good for him.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. I just hate, I usually listen to foreign music because I don't like the stupidity of bad lyrics to interrupt my musical enjoyment.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, we were listening to Joni Mitchell and then we walked into a cafe and they were doing the Paved Paradise to Big Yellow Taxi song, but it was some dude singing it. Oh. It wasn't the Green Day version, but it was like another young guy. And she was like, oh, I like the other version better. And she just kind of can hear it. But I think I'm like pumping music into her all the time.
Yeah.
So hopefully she'll be cool, I guess.
At 5, that's like a really good sign.
Okay, good.
Do you believe in astrology?
Well, I do, but my husband does not believe in ghosts, astrology, angels, the supernatural, like anything that he can't like touch with his claws. He's like, that's not a real thing.
Good man.
So, I mean, I guess I think that some people have intuition. And I think to say that they don't is a little ignorant.
Okay.
In terms of, you know, being able to access anything in the spiritual realm.
Okay.
In terms of astrology, I don't really know or understand.
I'm from Boston and I've lived here for about 7 years. And it's...
Oh, because how much people in LA love astrology?
I thought it was a joke, but it is like... It is crazy.
Well, I saw this clip of Lizzo the other day talking about like someone like astrologied her as an Aries and she was like truly upset about it. And I thought she was kidding, but then I watched it again and I was like, no, I think she's serious. Like, But because I'm an Aries. So okay. I was like, oh, she really does not like Aries. And then I was like, what's wrong with Aries?
See, it's kind of,
it is a thing.
It's a little crazy, right? when's your birthday?
March 26th.
March 26th. Okay.
So that's an Aries. I don't even know what my husband is because he like rejects it so much. I think he might be a Cancer, but he doesn't know what he is. Like if you were like, what astrology sign are you?
Oh, sure. Does he know his birthday though? what day
was his birthday? Is July 6th.
That's.
So it cancer. Is a Cancer. Okay.
So water and fire. That's the only thing I go by.
Oh no. Wait, he's water and I'm fire.
Yes.
Is that bad?
No. I mean, water puts out fire and you need, right?
That sounds really sexy in the bedroom.
Right. Yeah.
Water puts it out like, the fire.
The passionate flame is doused in like the cooling water of, I don't know.
But doesn't it have to do with like something scientific?
I don't think it has anything scientifically because
the stars,
the planets,
the placement of the planets. Isn't that science?
I think that's astronomy, right? But like I have a friend who's like a professional witch and she was in Salem for many years, like wow. Reading cards and stuff. She knows all the mythology of it.
A white witch.
And it's, she's black, but like,
no, but like,
I'm just kidding. No, she's a good witch.
Okay, good.
She's definitely a good witch. And she's very, very smart. And it's kind of like, she treats it kind of like mythology. So there's all those stories and stuff that have lessons and yada, yada, yada.
Okay. I like that.
But you know, Zeus wasn't real. Right. But like, there's all these lessons to be like, gleaned from these, you know, mythological stories, I guess.
Like almost like aphorisms, or they're like things that you read to help guide you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah, yeah. Because I mean, I feel like I know somebody who thought they were like a Gemini for half their life, and then they found out they were a Scorpio, and I was like, so. And then their whole worldview changed.
Okay, I will tell you one thing.
Okay.
My daughter. And I would say my six best friends throughout my life have all been Pisces. Uh-huh. And someone said that, or you know, I don't know if this is like very obvious, but they always say this, that you learn the most from the astrological signs right next to you. So wow. I've always like taken that to heart that like every one of my friends has a birthday in February. Do you think that's just, my husband would say it's a coincidence and I'm an idiot.
No, I would think that that's absolutely like the.
And my daughter.
The heavy hand of fate working in your life. I think in 200 years, it would be very possible for us to look back at astrology and be like, wow, they were really stupid or crazy or something. You know what I mean? Or like, where it's all like proven to be exactly true. And I guess we'll never know.
Yeah, I just don't know.
I just don't understand how like the day you were born could indicate your whole personality.
Well, it has brought me a lot of solace that I was born on the same day as both Tennessee Williams and Diana Ross.
So that's much more important than astrology.
Because you're like, oh, these are the parts of me. These are my kindred spirits. Yeah. You really get it.
Yeah, those are your soul sisters.
But there's so many famous people and so many amazing famous people that there's no way that you don't have like my husband, I think, was born on the same day as David Bowie and Hitler or something. So it's like, what can you do?
Perfect man. I mean, I was born literally like minutes after Kirsten Dunst, whom I don't know but love. And
minutes after.
I feel like she looks like my sister. I feel like we're related. And I hope to meet her one day because I feel like there's something there.
Okay, now what about ghosts? If someone's like, I saw a ghost in my house.
I believe that people see what they see because okay. I have seen ghosts.
You have?
Yes. However.
In your house?
In my house, outside of the house.
You've seen them, not
I've
felt it.
I've seen them with my eyes. However, it is very important to note that I was under the influence of psychoactive drugs.
That doesn't count.
What doesn't count? The drugs or the ghosts?
Well, I mean, I just did ayahuasca and saw a lady motioning to come towards me, but it was because it was, you know, it was a vision uh-huh. from the drug, no?
You wouldn't call a ghost a vision?
And I suppose you would. Maybe an apparition.
Apparition. Apparition. Yeah, yeah. I mean, but it was like a very ghostly, and I was not hallucinating anything else at the time.
Okay.
So it was interesting.
So you entered a different realm because that's what I noticed when I did the ayahuasca. It's like, okay, reality is not exactly what we think it is.
And oh, that's for sure.
Of course.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And to think that reality is just this is like.
Depressing.
Yeah, there's other realms, right?
So I have, when did you do ayahuasca?
Recently.
Really? Tell me everything because I'm very into this.
It was really cool.
Did you puke?
I did.
Yeah.
And the thing I wasn't prepared for is we were very packed in. And then like, you know, you're sober, you're looking around. It's like this tight circle. You have two little like open like glass vases on one side of you and then two on the other side. So the one on to your right is your vomit bucket.
Yeah.
And your Kleenex bucket.
Yep.
And then the one to your left is the other person's vomit bucket and Kleenex right. bucket. So you're kind of sandwiched in between their vomit. And then the other thing I wasn't really prepared for, because, you know, I throw up very neatly. I'm just like, you know, but all of a sudden you're having this vision, there's music, and you just hear a man across the thing like, because like you're hurling and men are just louder.
Yeah.
It was just like, that was a lot. Cause you're yeah. already like, okay, can I handle this? Like I'm peaking. And then that happened, but it's not a perfect drug pretty much because of that. That is the glitch in the drug.
Yeah. It's tough. I mean, I did it with about 150 people and this exactly what you described. Sandwiched, but we were also all wearing diapers.
Why? Because they said you shit.
They said you might shit.
What?
So they, I was fully diapered up. I was not taking any chances.
I did not hear of anyone shitting.
No. Enough people maybe like it's very rare, I guess, because I don't think anybody shat that day or that night. I'm not sure. But I was just so scared and I was like, I'm in the middle of this, I'm in a parking lot in Mexico. And I don't want to shit myself, so I put the diaper on. And it was kind of fun, though, because it was freezing.
Oh,
so.
My God.
Yeah. Did you, like, I mean, the symphony of retching?
Well, that was rough, but that wasn't as prevalent. Everyone did it at first, it seemed like. So there was like 35 people.
Okay.
Then I was sitting next to this woman who, you know, she had a headdress on and she was from like some indigenous culture. And I was like, you know, which one, can I move your vomit bucket a little closer to you? And she was like, oh, honey, I haven't vomited in 45 years. Cause like, I was just very like freaking out about the vomit,
yeah, yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
And then I'm like, I'm not going to need Kleenex. Meanwhile, like my Kleenex bucket was like totally full from not just crying, but like wiping your mouth and thinking you're going to retch and like blowing your nose.
It's pretty unglamorous.
It's pretty very unglamorous. You have these like masks on, but
Wait, you had a mask on?
Yeah, well they wanted us
like
to wear
mask.
Like an eye
oh,
mask
yeah, sure.
because I think it's a very sedentary, but everyone's experiences were so different. Like, and talk about entering another realm. One woman, like, cause we all had to say our experiences at the end, and we did it 6 times. So you do it 3 times that night.
Wait, what?
Well, you spend the night.
Yeah.
So you did 3 times. You got there at 5. You did it at like 6 p.m., 8 p.m., oh, and then probably like 1 a.m.
Sure,
or something.
Sure. Yeah, we did that too.
We fell asleep. And then the next morning, we did it 3 more times and then left that day.
Right.
So it was kind of like you could really fit it into your schedule. I mean, you don't have to like go to Mexico and get diapers. Whatever you did.
Well, they did it. They
shitting in some parking lot.
We're literally in this like broke ass like hoopty van trying to like
ooh, boy.
Go up a hill, like a rocky hill.
It
we
was,
get to this
yes.
abandoned restaurant. It was very, very
Whoa.
Rustic. Very
did you,
rustic.
Was it a good experience? Were you glad you did it?
I didn't, me and two other people, it
you didn't
work.
Feel it. That no. happened to me. So the yeah. first time they gave me the amount, I felt the circle, I saw the circle come in
okay.
and I felt someone motioning towards me
okay.
and I got afraid.
Okay.
And I was like, no, I'm not going to go in. I don't want to okay. know what they have to say. I just got a little afraid.
Yeah.
And then the two other times I did it that night, they gave me a little less
okay.
and I never accessed that point again
okay.
until the next day when I said, can you give me the same amount?
Yeah.
Cause there were other people there. There was one girl there who's like, yeah, I have a shaman who just sends me ayahuasca. So I do it in my bedroom. Like people are like, what are you doing tonight? She's like, well, actually going to be sitting in my room doing
spirit
ayahuasca.
Vision for 8 hours. It's like, what about you?
So she didn't feel it.
Okay.
Because she's her tolerance. And then I also heard if you smoke a lot of pot, you kind of have to stop for almost like two or three weeks. The girl next to me was like, she's a jealous, you know, ayahuasca can be jealous. She doesn't like weed. You know, so like they're like competing or something.
Yes.
So
that
didn't
funny.
Work at all. I yeah. think you would have just needed a higher dose.
Well, it took me. So they offered a third pour for the people who had like by the second pour, it was vomit, like a symphony of vomit. Right. Everybody's retching. People are moaning. It's like full theatricality. Mm. And me, the girl next to me, and then some other person were just kind of like patiently waiting. And then so they offered us a third dose, and we took it. I vomited, but nothing. I was really? The only thing that was good is that I was like awake and present enough to see the assistant of the shaman really getting down by the fire. It was so strange. Like at 2 a.m, he's just started like boogie dancing like by the fire by himself. And that was very entertaining. But other than that,
because he was doing it too, right?
I don't think so. I think he was just like being there to helping, you know.
Well, everyone was on it. Like even the shaman at one point he bumped me, and I was like, or I bumped him, and I was, because there was dancing, and I was like, I'm sorry. He's like, oh honey, I have no idea where I am. I'm just like, I kind of like that everyone, but it really made me believe that there's other realms. If you can access it from a drug, that's ignorant, but one girl, so we all talk about our experiences, and this one girl was like, I was in Nazi Germany and there was a wall, and I was helping, this woman had turned in some Jews and then felt bad about it and was coming to me to have her soul cleaned. And I always wanted to clean souls. And I'm just like, what is happening? Like these people were getting like full on, they were acting out these like plays or whatever. Damn. Like mine was not like that.
What was yours like? What kind of visions did you have?
Mine was more annoying. Mine was like a to-do list.
Oh my God.
It was so annoying. It was like, sell your house. And I'm just like, ugh, like, come on.
Shop for different clothes.
But then at one point, I got so many to-do things, like, you know, finish your will. And so that I was just kind of like, the last time I did it, I wanted a really big dose. And I was like, I asked the spirits, I was like, what am I past everything?
Okay.
Past my house, past my kids, past my career, past my husband, like past everything I imagine. And I got like very, very strong information.
Okay.
And that was something that really kind of lasted for a lot. Like at least I was high on that for like 2 weeks. Uh-huh. It's kind of come off a little bit, but still it's like, and I feel like I really enjoyed getting that information.
I think it's great. I mean, people, it's the weirdest thing about it is that it was discovered by, you know, indigenous populations in South America.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know how they did it, because it's one compound from a plant and then another to make it digestible. So on its own, as it like, because the psychoactive compound in ayahuasca is only like able to be ingested because it has like an MAOI inhibitor or something like that. But you only get that from brewing it together for hours.
Right.
How the fuck did that happen?
I'm so curious about that as well. I was just visiting in Santa Barbara, and there's this coastal sage habitat, and they talk about all the indigenous people who lived there, the Chumash Indians, and they would just like, this berry is used for, you know, astringent, and this one is used for washing your hair, and this one, and like they all have these different properties, but how did they just trial and error every single plant?
That's a lot of fucking trial and a lot of error.
Well, they were there for like thousands of years.
I know, but even thousands of years with no like, how?
Maybe they got visions.
I think it was probably put there by ghosts, you know, or like aliens or something. I don't know. That kind of shit makes me think, oh, maybe this, you know, maybe there is like some other, we're being meddled
with. Someone guiding you to
honestly,
it.
Honestly, I mean, who knows? But it's wild. The drug or the compound in ayahuasca is called DMT, and then you can do that by itself.
That does not seem fun. Everyone's like, it's like for 20 seconds and you don't know where you are and you faint. Is that DMT?
It's for probably 20 minutes.
20 minutes?
Yeah. Okay. But and it's probably the most like intense, the 5-MeO version of it. It's called 5-MeO DMT. It's probably the most powerful psychedelic drug you can do, but it only lasts 20 minutes.
And why should I do this?
Because it's sort of like, it's incredible. I mean, I don't want to endorse, you know, or promote illicit drug use, but you feel like you die, and but there's no pain, and there's
it's not a party drug.
Oh no,
you're dead on the floor.
You need someone there to like catch you.
Okay,
you will fall over.
And are you having a realization afterwards that stays with you in a positive way?
Absolutely, you can. Other people, I think, get too scared by it because in about 45 seconds, you completely lose the sense of your body and the sense of me versus anything out there.
Mm.
So like it feels like you dissolve into the ether.
Wow.
And there's no
scary.
More you. Yeah, it's super scary. And it's thrilling.
I wonder what would happen to someone like my husband, who is sober, who doesn't believe in other realms.
Oh, he would love it.
because he did acid when he was like in sixth grade, where it's like you just see colors and you're like, yes. whoa, awesome. It's a kaleidoscope. And then he like had to go to rehab by the time he was 14. And so never got to revisit drugs in any meaningful way. He's like drinking strawberry 40s or whatever those like. What's like the strawberry alcohol you get from Boone's Farm
or something like that? Whatever, he was just doing that stuff.
So he never got to be like a sophisticated.
Right.
Which is what I want to tell my daughter almost like.
Designer drugs, darling.
Right. And wait, I didn't do drugs till I was like 30. And then That's smart. I feel like I can do them.
Yes.
You know, lightly. I didn't OD on stuff. Yeah. Not that my husband OD'd, but.
Did you grow up in the suburbs?
No, I grew up in Rockford, Illinois, which is, it's outside of Chicago, but it's not a suburb. It's the second biggest city in Illinois. I just went back recently. My husband went there for the first time. We've been married 8 years. And he goes, this place has major get me out of here vibes. The second we got there, he's at a Costco trying to get a computer cord. Oh my gosh, it was just like, it's rough. I mean, it's not as bad as a suburb, as they say, better from the gutter than from suburbia. I mean, suburbia feels really rough.
It's rough in the strangest way, especially for white people, because like I grew up in this very safe, like we never locked our door.
Really?
Yeah, never locked our door, but we were like squarely middle to lower middle class. Like I never had like a car or a computer or anything, but we never, ever, ever worried about physical safety or like nothing. It is nice, but it's also boring. And there's nothing like, there's no like real world stressors to kind of like prepare you for a life of like pain and degradation. You know, there's just nothing going on.
Just like Panera Bread.
Yes, it's Panera Bread and it's Dunkin' Donuts and that's about it. So because of that, we did a lot of drugs.
Can't win because I'm always like, where can I raise my child?
No. Yeah, but I wish we hadn't because it's so much better to do them when your brain is developed.
That is a big issue too.
Yeah, especially with the weed. I've recently learned especially now where the weed is so strong because this like California weed is like, it is not the 70s weed that people
were
smoking.
What were people doing in the 70s? They were just smoking in the morning because it was like a doobies. Cigarette with like a tiny bit of something in it.
It was just like, that is like that little just spark in a doobie and like, that stuff I think is like, I mean.
Did they drive while they were high?
Yeah, and they didn't wear seatbelts or have like airbags.
Right.
It was just wild back then.
Sounds so fun.
I know. My dad hitchhiked all the time.
Sunset Boulevard was just like, you just would get in people's cars.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess we could do a version of that now with Lyft.
Uber. I was saying that the other day. I was like, so we just get into strangers' cars every day, multiple times a day now.
For generations.
That's fucking crazy.
I know. It is pretty scary.
When I was doing drag back in Boston, getting the taxi home in drag from the nightclub was always a crash course in sexual assault because they would always, something about cabbies at that place, they would come to pick up the girls and they would always try to like put my hand on their dick or like, I mean, all the time.
Oh my God.
Yeah. I was chased home by a FedEx truck once.
Oh.
Like chased. I had to run into my apartment. It was so crazy.
That's horrifying.
Yeah. But I was really hot and drag.
I bet. So. I'm sorry that happened to you.
Thank you.
Actually, I haven't heard people talk about that, you know, because it's like so often I feel like all the victims are women.
Yeah. I mean, some of them just look like women too.
Right.
You know? Yeah. I mean, it's like for drag queens, especially, I mean, for trans women, it's like, it is rough,
yeah.
rough. Because I don't know, there's something about men who, when they fetishize what they consider to be a taboo, they have this laser focus that's even creepier than their normal mode.
They get even more horny.
Yes. And also if they think that you have a penis, they kind of assume that you're one of the guys, but not so they can, I don't know. I don't really know how to figure that out, but it is fucking creepy. Like I would be at a bar, a drag bar, you know, like after the show, and a guy would come up to me 2 inches from my face, like, can I give you a blowjob?
Really?
Yes. I'd be like, yes. And I miss that. I miss it. I bet, what was it like backstage at a comedy club?
Pre-pandemic?
Yeah.
I mean,
in the good old days.
Did you see that girl just got like hit in the head? I just feel
like. Yes, was a bottle thrown at her?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it just feels like it's getting more and more dangerous to like, dude, let's just not work anymore.
I say
podcasting's nice.
Podcasting's nice if you actually have some kind of point of view and maybe just like a modicum of understanding of like any facts. Because if you notice, no, like you notice people will be like, so I stopped washing my daughter and I have to say, it's so much better. And then the post will be like, yeah, I'm never going to wash my kids again.
Yeah, and the misinformation can really.
Just because they have headphones and a microphone.
I know.
And it's fucking crazy.
I also think that people are noticing that like, oh, there's no one talking to the right. And like, if we start talking to them, we could have like, our numbers will go through the roof. Right. How else can we compete? So yeah. People kind of are vague.
Yeah.
They're not, right. Yeah. You know, they're trying to like make sure that they can get as many.
Yeah. Those vulnerable flyover country people.
It sucks. Yeah. So I don't really know what the future is in terms of that.
Do you like traveling on the road, being on the road?
I used to love traveling, you know, and that's the problem. One of the things I talk about in my book too is like coming to terms with, I'm trying to get back to my pre-child Natasha who had so much joie de vivre and would like go, you know, river rafting without a helmet and like go to Africa on a spur, like, okay, get vaccines put up and down my arms, go the next day. And now it's like, I'm constantly like worried about choking and like, you know, everything is like a fear-based thing.
Yeah.
I mean, there's definitely a freedom in not having kids. And it's like,
oh, shit.
I hate that I'm like not this person anymore who had so much, because I was never a scared person. I was just like,
really?
Move to New York, move to London, you know, go to Thailand, go to Australia. And, you know, I just would never look back. And it's just sad in a way because I want to be that person again.
But I mean, look at Madonna. She's normal. She's got like 12 kids.
She's like in her bathroom at all times making a video, like a sex video with her trainer. Like what are our kids are like, Ma, like I'm sure she has her own bathroom. But like that would be funny if that was a shared
bathroom in the mansion. Yeah. 14 bedrooms, one bathroom. Yeah, that'd be so funny.
Wait, do you look at what Madonna's doing and you think that that's funny or cool or normal? I don't know. I mean, I look at it and I'm like, is she okay? But I've never been a huge fan. So
I've never been a huge fan either, but I've been gay my whole life. So I have been always aware.
Right.
And there have been eras moments of her career where I've like, oh wow, that's awesome. Like, I mean, I remember when music videos were on TV and they would premiere on TV and that was always a big thing because hers were fantastic.
I remember, was it Truth or Dare? Seeing that at the theaters.
Oh, that's a fantastic documentary.
It's good.
But it's just good.
I remember her coming down the steps rollers and asking the assistant, this is before cell phones, and she's like, any messages? And they're like, no. And she's like, okay, I'm going to my room. You know, just a peek into the lonely life of a
world famous diva.
Exactly.
And I mean, you know, arguing, taking the piss out of Warren Beatty backstage.
Oh yeah.
It's like Hollywood shit.
That's a great movie.
Yeah. Awesome.
So I am a fan, I guess, but I don't know I just feel like I don't know. The sex thing is like just a little boring to me, I suppose.
I mean, it's on the one hand, you can like applaud her for being consistent and not being like a sellout. But on the other hand, she's wearing trainers and a grill and asking Jimmy Kimmel to eat her out. You know what I mean? It's like.
Remember she did stand up?
No.
She did. She did it on a late night show. But why did she do that? She's just like, I can do it all.
I think because when you're Madonna, and I don't think you're surrounded by a lot of no people.
Of course.
That would be my guess. Because I actually do know someone who, worked with her, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that she's a very, very difficult person to disagree with.
I know why I got off of her too. Hold on.
Bless you.
Excuse me.
That was so elegant.
That's how I vomit too.
Yeah.
During the ayahuasca, I'm like.
I mean, meanwhile, it comes through my nose and I break blood vessels in my eyes. So, you know.
No, but I read her brother's book.
Oh,
and he was
right.
Like, Madonna's wedding. She put me in the smallest room of the castle up in the attic. And then he was her quick change person. Christopher Ciccone. No, for her shows for a while.
Okay.
And they would get into these huge fights and she would like degrade him in front of everyone. But it just sounded like, whoa.
Yeah.
A lot of whoa.
Oh, yeah. She's always seemed like a person you would not want to get within 6 feet of.
Oh, and the other funny thing Christopher said is he's like, she always says that she was dropped in Times Square with $2 in her pocket. But my dad was paying for her apartment.
that I love that shit.
Oh my God. And who knows like how, and also it's like, was it really the smallest room in the castle? I mean, right. It's like
the castle.
Right. Yeah. Like it's like very easy to be like, well, why didn't I get the suite?
Yeah. I mean, I just think that she is probably at a level of, she's, I'm talking about different realms. I mean, she's probably in a realm that I don't think any of us could probably understand.
Right. Of course. So let her just be in the dark in her bathroom with no eyebrows.
Yeah, no eyebrows, looking like
on a Tuesday.
Yeah, with her grill and her tits and her giant ass and like just talking about her pussy with a lisp. It's like so, it's so wild.
And also she put an ad on her Instagram the other day looking for a trainer. Did you see that?
Oh my God.
A funny idea.
She must burn through these trainers like so quick. So quick.
She probably just wants to conduct interviews for 2 weeks, right? Like just have men or like gay guys over who are like, I'll be your trainer.
That's true. Cause I think there was like in the 80s, I think she would famously like get in a limo and ride around New York City and just like pick guys off the street and then fuck them in the car.
Wow.
And which is like, you know, that's really
very
that's
modern. Fierce.
Yeah, yeah. And I think she probably still does that. She has to go about it a little bit differently.
I'd like to do that.
I would too.
I'd want to get to know them first, though. I don't want to just pick like hot guys.
Yeah.
I'd like to like, I don't know how I would do it.
Let me ask you this. So I'm always so fascinated with straight people in this concept of like cheating and betrayal as the ultimate like sin. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Like, I know what you
what
mean.
What is with that?
Because there's nothing else. Because we've like, I've got to be, my daughter is like, so important to me.
Yeah.
So I have this family and that's what it is.
But
I'm making that work.
Right.
So the fantasy, I suppose, would be that he dies. And then I'm free to fuck some guy with a yacht, probably is where I would go with that. Who's like hot enough. And then I can have the lifestyle I always knew I could have.
That you deserved.
That I deserved.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But if Moshe like cheated on you with Blake Lively, let's say.
I wouldn't care who it was with.
Okay.
At this point. After the pandemic, I'm like, go for it. Because I was like, hot nannies, no way. And then now after the pandemic, I'm like, oh, let him be hot. Just come over, give him something to look at.
Madonna.
Madonna can come over. Yeah. I don't know if he'd be into her. But
would you feel like betrayed? Because it's always
if he fucked Blake Lively.
Or any woman.
Yes. I would be like, okay, now I get custody.
Oh, divorce. Like straight to divorce.
Well, I guess I would be like, okay, now I get one.
Yeah. Quid pro quo.
Well, how does it work in a, like if you were in a relationship with a kid.
I don't fuck kids.
No, I'm sorry. If you had a kid, like
yes, if I have a child,
would
and I'm
you
in a
think
relationship,
you could still be in an open relationship with a kid? I mean, it's hard to go there if you don't.
Oh no, I mean, I think that well, first of all, like it would be the how do I, I don't see why not? Because if you're in an open relationship, you're not having sex in front of people in general, usually.
Right.
So you just like, as long as the child is not like watching, I don't see what's the problem.
Maybe we'll, I mean, he's always trying to push that.
Open relationship?
Or at least a three-way.
Oh, God. That's so tired, though.
I know.
But that's worse because that's like inviting all of the like insecurities and like foibles and like missteps of, that's just
and he
too clunky,
and
I
he
feel
doesn't
like.
It's such a good way to put it, clunky. And
clunky.
He doesn't have the wisdom to know that it can't be one of his friends. Because I'm like, no, that's like awkward then.
No, you
forever.
Just hang out with your friends. You
yeah. So he, and then I was like, maybe like a sex worker would make more sense.
Yes, that would make more
but
sense.
But at the same time, I feel like once we do that, or he was trying to say like, when I go to Burning Man, can I have it be an open thing for Burning Man? And I'm like, I'm already thinking five Burning Mans, five road gigs. Okay, now when he, if I let him do that at Burning Man, now when he's in Raleigh next week.
Yeah.
Does he think that he can like do something there? I don't want to have these discussions all the time. So it's like, it's almost like it's just easier to just be like, we're not doing
yes,
that.
I feel the exact same way. That's like part of the draw of being in a monogamous relationship. We're done. Like we're not looking anymore. We're not like searching and like, you know, making a mistake, whatever. Burning Man?
Yeah.
You went there pregnant, didn't you?
I went there three times. It was not for me. And he wants to bring our daughter there. So I tried to do, she's five or four and a half. And I'm like, that's why I said to him, what if you, instead of bringing her, because he wanted to bring her this year, you can just do that thing where you have free reign. And I told him that this year, kind of as a joke. And then my therapist kind of urged me to like get some clarification on it. Because I was like, I just told him it. Let's see what he does. And then I told him, you know, right before he went, and it was actually very sweet. He was like, oh, well, you know, you're the most important thing to me. And I didn't really even think you were serious. And our family is so important. So that was very nice. So he didn't do it. But I still don't want him to take my kid there. It's not appropriate.
It's not appropriate for anybody who is interested in hygiene or like feeling good. I mean, it sounds like a nightmare.
Safety, there's dust storms.
Yes.
But there's drugs. But
tons of drugs, yeah.
He's like, well, then why do all these other people let their kids go? I'm like, well, they're probably bad parents.
There you go. So November 15th, the book comes out, right?
Yes. So I talk about a lot of this. You know, it's a lot of like me trying to still maintain glamour. It's a comedy book. It's not a self-help book. This is comedy essays.
Yeah.
The world
is boring. Our what to expect when you're expecting bullshit.
No, but I mean, so I like gorgeous. Those books.
You do?
Well, I mean, it helped me as a mom, but course, yeah. You know, I didn't know what to.
I mean, there's so many books about, and so many people out there like arguing for or competing for your attention in terms of how to like raise your child. That must
my God,
be fucking daunting.
It's so annoying. And like, there's all these like women on Instagram, and sometimes I'll like save the videos and show my husband so she'll be having a fit. And I'm like, okay, let's do what the thing says, you know? And so we'll do the three steps and it doesn't work. And I'm like, these people are just scamming people.
I don't think anybody knows how to raise a
there's
child.
There's no generation where we're like, yes, it really worked to validate all of their, all of their, you know, fear and, because you're not supposed to say all these things to kids now. You're not supposed to say, good job. You're supposed to say, you worked really hard on that. And you're not supposed to say, be careful, you know, because that could like get them afraid. And there's just all these new rules that are like exhausting.
No shit. Yeah.
So I'm kind of making fun of a lot of that stuff too.
That's great. Can I keep this?
Of course, it's for you.
Oh, thank you. I have one for you too. This is
Tatum O'Neill.
Yeah.
Now, is it true that her dad let her do cocaine when she was 11?
Well, I think she won an Oscar at 8, so.
Okay.
Yeah.
But, like, people didn't know. Like, we drink Red Bull and, like.
I don't. I mean, my mother was a nurse in this in the early 80s, and she smoked at the nurse's station. With
really?
The doctors. Yeah, yeah.
So I don't think we should be so hard on her dad for, like, giving her cocaine. But maybe
I
should read all the information.
Yeah, there's a lot of – I think cocaine was the least of the problems.
And, like, Jack Nicholson would bring, like, 12-year-olds over and everyone would be like, okay, well, we'll just leave now. Yeah,
the golden age of Hollywood. Before phones, you know, people just vibing.
I don't know about Jack Nicholson. They were vibing, right?
Yeah, they certainly were. Actually, Stevie Nicks lived across the – or next door at one point.
Stop it.
Yeah, talking about cocaine.
Yeah. I love her.
She's amazing.
Yeah. She doesn't still live there. We can't go over. You should have her do the podcast. Has she done it?
No, I don't think anybody's over there right now. It was like somebody like parked in my driveway, and it was. I asked the guy. I was like, "Oh, do you live next door?" He's like, "Kinda." I was like, "Oh God, here we go." There's some weird shit going on over there.
Stupid husband of hers. What's his name? The woman's name.
Kelsey. No.
Not Leslie.
It's not Leslie. It's Shelly, that's not just Veronica.
Julia. No, it's well. Anyway,
what is it? It's
you. No, he's so famous.
Yeah, I know. It's so famous. It's like Terry or
no. Just look up Fleetwood Mac.
Yeah, yeah. It's
No, it's not Leslie, but it's very.
I know.
Close.
I know. It's on the tip of my tongue.
It's anyway. He has his new family. Like she looks exactly like. Stevie, like when she was, you know, 27.
That's so weird.
And I really didn't like him anymore because he had a a guitar shaped swimming pool.
Oh.
Lindsay
Buckingham. Yeah. Anyways, well, I don't want to keep you too long. This is so
sorry, Lindsay.
This is like such a great. This is lovely. This picture.
Thank you. That's my child. And And yes, it's you know, parenting at the end of the world. The pandemic was rough. But I tried to maintain some glamour. I hope that it's hilarious. And, you know, I was trying like, it's like more like David Sedaris style comedy essays. You don't like read it from the beginning to the end. But, you know, there are.
No pictures though, huh?
I'm sorry. You know, the picture thing, it was like, it took so much more energy. And I could barely write the book.
No,
you've got to like hunt down high res. Did you do that?
It sucks. writing sucks.
It's so hard.
It is so hard. Me and Trixie wrote together, and it was like, my assistant had to have like a Glock pointed at the back of my head to get me to write anything. And I don't know how to type well. I go like this. It's so embarrassing.
You
so
should have just texted it.
I know. Like I did a lot of it on my phone. Ooh, but yeah, it's terrible.
It's very rough. But
did you have a nice editor?
I did. Yeah. And I'm so glad it's over. And I'm never writing another one.
Have you noticed
how thin it is?
When we got our first one, I was like, a pamphlet. Great. A pamphlet.
Now, Sharon's is a little heavier. She kind of really went for it.
But that's a heavier cardstock.
Oh, my God. I didn't realize that. You could do
look
that.
Look, there's only 30 words on each page.
Oh, my God. This is big font.
Hello.
See, I should have done
large
that.
Large print. Yeah.
I would also encourage people to do the audiobook because, you know, we're comedians.
Do you read it yourself?
I read it myself, of course. Although that would have been funny to have someone else
Glenn
read
Close. Or like Kathleen Turner. That would have been amazing.
That.
Yeah. I would like, yeah.
Stevie, hello. Maybe Stevie would do it.
Oh my God. That would be, yeah. I would love to have an old like Russian woman who's been smoking for 50 years and can't speak English very well. That would be great.
Wait, I don't think someone's done that. That's really funny.
Yeah.
I love it. I mean, especially if you're a voice person, you know, you've got a podcast, you're a professional, but you still have someone else do it. Outsource it.
Right. So give someone else a chance, you know?
Give Glenn Close a chance.
Yeah, she's so bored. Well, Natasha, thank you so much. We never have guests, but I'm so excited because I actually legitimately love you. And I was so nervous to have you over here.
Oh, well, thank you so much. This has been a dream. Me. And I love you too.
Great. Where can they find you on the whatever?
Just go on my Instagram, although I just can't deal with TikTok. I'm sorry. I have a page, but I'm just like, my time is too precious.
I feel exactly the same way.
And so on my Instagram.
Oh, so you have a child.
I have a child, yes.
They're going to have a TikTok and you have to monitor that.
No, I'm putting her in like a school that doesn't do technology.
Oh, she's going to be like a Luddite or an Amish person?
Oh my God, I shouldn't do that.
No, wait. I mean, No.
I feel bad, but like, I just don't want her to go, like, especially for girls, it's so terrible.
They have to learn calligraphy. They have to learn sewing.
She's like,
but no TV.
Polished wooden toys. She's hammering them.
Block. Yeah, like squares and circles.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, when you say no technology, do they have electricity?
No, they do. It's just something I'm like toying with.
I think that's a great idea because I was recently asked like if I would ever let my child have like social media, at what age? I'd be like, that's why I don't think I could have a child.
27.
Yeah, 30.
I know. It's really sad because like all these kids are getting depressed. I mean, I know someone whose daughter, they had to hire like someone to eat all her meals with her because she's anorexic now in high school from Instagram.
Fuck.
And they're monitoring the food now. And it's like, it's just everyone's, and then it's just so, who knows where it's going to be in 10 years?
Yeah.
I mean.
Well, hopefully, I mean, you and I both grew up without having to curate an online persona as we developed.
I know.
That's stressful. That's too much.
And AI's been out, you know, since yesterday, and they're already trying to figure out how to like do porn fakes with everybody. So it's like, where it's going to be so trashed in 10 years.
We're just going to be a bunch of like brainless gutter people, fucking robots.
No, there's going to be a huge split. And we're just going to be like the Amish, Luddites,
okay, yeah.
Cool people too.
Okay,
I'll be there.
Farming,
yeah. Doing our thing, using map, or like a map to get somewhere, I guess.
Drawing maps and then using.
What's that thing? The Thomas Guide and like a, you know.
An almanac?
An almanac. And then there'll be the people who just want to go there in their little pods.
Right.
And
sure.
Slurp their goo.
Their goo and fuck their robots. And yeah.
Yeah. So.
Yeah,
maybe there'll be a middle ground that we can hang out in.
I don't know.
But
I think you're right about that.
I mean, with Elon Musk, like taking over Twitter.
I was just going to say that,
he's going to trash the world.
Robot fucking in like 3, 2, 1, absolutely.
Well, I'll be there for it. And you know what? There needs to be something to make fun of. So.
True.
And
yeah.
Also making fun of robots, I feel like that's a world where maybe we could do that. And
it's like guilt-free. Yeah, you don't have to worry about anything.
Yeah, it's like making fun of houses or something. Which is my next thing.
Yeah. Are you going to do another, is it a Netflix special? Is it Comedy Central special?
I have a Comedy Central special.
You and Moshe have one together.
We have one together on Netflix.
Netflix, okay.
Yes.
That's the one I want.
The Endless Honeymoon stand-up special. But the podcast is the Endless Honeymoon podcast. And that is, you know, you can just see it on my Instagram.
Okay, fabulous.
And I'll try to read Tatum's book.
Oh, you don't have to.
I've been like actually very interested in her because of that story that my hairdresser told me.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's wild. I think, last thing, I don't think any child should be in a movie ever.
Me neither.
Never. 18 or over?
I have a friend who is 25 and she was a child actor in Disney stuff. And I just talked to her yesterday and she came over and she was talking about how she's ready to have kids and she wants to settle down. And she missed her last 2 years of high school. I think that it's like she already experienced that life almost.
Yeah.
And it's like maybe it would have been better for her to have like, I don't know. I mean, she's amazing and successful, yeah. So it's fine. But I just can't imagine being at 25 ready to settle down.
Oh, I can. I was like at 32, I was ready to retire.
Really?
Yes.
I was so ambitious.
Really?
The kid really got rid of my ambition.
Thank God.
Yeah. I know. Ambition is annoying.
It's so overplayed. I mean, Trixie is so ambitious. That's why she's dead. You know, she worked too much.
But good partner.
Great.
Well, they're a good engine.
Yeah. Oh my God. Well, she literally keeps me tethered to this realm because otherwise I would just drift away.
That's awesome. Sure. And you guys have such an amazing, you're so funny together.
Yeah,
I love listening to your podcast.
Oh, thank you.
I'm learning a lot.
Yeah, we have a lot to say as gay, bald, white men.
Wait, can I ask you something?
Yeah.
What? Oh, I don't want to get it wrong.
Capital of Romania?
No. Was it, because it's like not top or bottom. What's side?
Oh, side. So like top or bottom is like.
I know what that is.
Yeah. What is it?
What is it when someone's a side? Well, like there's guys who want to be fucked.
That's if you fuck, then you're a top.
Right.
If you want to get fucked, you're a bottom. But if you want to just eschew anal altogether, you're a side.
Oh, you're never doing anal.
Well, not, I mean, say that's not your preference because think about it.
I don't want to do anal.
Hello? If you're a woman, why would you want to do anal?
Because you want to please the guy so bad and his dick seems small.
Boom.
That's usually when I've considered it in the past.
I won't feel that. Go ahead.
But it fucking hurts.
No shit. And there's no prostate. So what's the fucking point?
Okay. So side is like eschewing.
Yeah. Because
anal.
Then, like it's, I mean, there's a risk of shitting on the dick. Unless, you know, you're prepared, which takes time, planning. There's no spontaneous anal sex.
Not everyone has nail scrubbers in their bathroom either, you know. Well, I'm just saying, it's like, you got to stick your fingers up.
No fingers.
No fingers either?
I say no fingers because I don't trust anybody's fingernail situation.
I know.
I have somebody who has I know somebody who had a perforated colon from it. Yeah. Yeah.
See, I scheduled my C-section. It was scheduled for 10 o'clock, 10:07. I had great pictures. I had the baby.
Yeah.
I was out of there. I'm not trying to like do that.
To rip out the plumbing down there is horrible.
Oh my God.
Yeah, so it's like, there's so much more you can do besides penetrative anal sex. There's so much more.
I love that.
Go on walks, you can go get ice cream, you know, like there's lots of other stuff you can do.
So. I would definitely be a side.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much.
But yes, I love your podcast. I'm learning a lot.
Okay, great.
Oh, my book comes out November 15th.
Yes. It's beautiful. I haven't read it because she would not send me an advance copy. But I can't wait to read it. Thank you so much.
Thank you, guys.